going through the car wash this week. Seco calls out the Santin boy. Kwamaimai, the markets in Gauteng.
Kwamaimai, man. Why are you saying too slow? Kwamaimai.
We preview the Nedbank Cup semi-finals.
You know, players are hurting. Players feel betrayed. Coaches feel betrayed. Again, you're going to have a handful of players that want to prove everyone wrong, and that's great for sure. But I think the sheer strength of the Mamelodi Sundowns squad, I just think Sundowns will come out flying. And
no excuses for Amakosi in this year's title race.
Because if they don't win, now there's too many loopholes for KZN to use an excuse. So I think Josh Moleka's story will come back again. The lockdown issue will come back again. The Karma Billiard story will come back again.
Today is a great day for car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sakala Duma Radio. This is a Hlangana Khona.
Good day and welcome to episode number 38 of The Car Wash. On today's show, Bobby Mutaung suspended by Chiefs for partying during lockdown. We preview the Nedbank Cup and UEFA Champions League that's coming up this weekend. And we also assess Opa Manyisa and Joseph Mulangwane's moves to TTM FC. Whether you're listening to us via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Game Time on Mahikeng 96.7 FM, welcome to the show. I'm your anchor, Slu Paho, voice of SL Radio, but I'm joined by two wonderful co-hosts. The first was described by the Ridiculously Human podcast as an ex-footballer, jokester, and role model. I agree with two of those three descriptions. It's Sean Roberts. How are you doing?
Thank you, Slu. Which two are those?
How savage would it be if I said jokester and role model?
Yeah, I am.
And joining him is the magical midfield maestro from Meadowlands, Mr. Modise. How are you doing, Teko?
I'm good on you, bro.
All good, all good. You see my alliteration skills.
Very, very impressive. It's all, well done.
So poetic, you know what I'm saying? But we have to be defeated by Mr. Sean Roberts. First things first. The joke of the day.
Quick one, but dodgy. Why did Snoop Dogg need an umbrella? For drizzle.
For drizzle.
Oh, for drizzle, my nizzle. For drizzle, my nizzle. Oh, well, very quickly, you know, we don't want to get ourselves into any hot water, but we got to talk about Bobby Mutaung. He's been suspended by Kaizer Chiefs for taking part in festivities during what looks like the lockdown period. That's the direct quote from Kaizer Chiefs. So we asked fans if Amakosi made the right call, and this is pole position. Pole position is, of course, where we post a question on our Facebook page and we ask you all to express your opinions on it. And here's what you had to say about Bobby's situation.
I think it's a great idea from Kaizer Chiefs to suspend their manager. As you know, this is a national lockdown. It needs managers and players to be disciplined. It sends a strong message, not only to Kaizer Chiefs players, but to other teams, that their discipline is very important during this COVID-19 time. Thank you very much.
This was long overdue, honestly. The public, the supporters of Kaizer Chiefs, the hard-dying fans, we've been calling for this guy's suspension.
Bobby Mutaung then was reckless, very reckless during these circumstances.
By suspending him, it is not enough. He has to be arrested, like any one of us.
Okay, so just a side note here, all right, on that last one. Gauteng police spokesperson and Captain Mavela Masondo came out and said, as Gauteng provincial government office, we don't have a report of a case having been opened. So right now it's just initial reactions. There's no word of any arrests, but very strong opinions from our fans as usual. But what do you guys think? Have Chiefs made the right call here? And what does this mean for the team during the period of his suspension? So obviously he's going to miss a few games. What do you guys think?
Oh man, I don't know. it's so difficult to comment on these things. I mean, you know, it's obviously, you know, he's obviously just been bust, so this is the course that's been taken. But yeah, of course, you know, give him a 2-week suspension. I don't even think it's a suspension, to be honest. I'm just saying he's probably been told to stay at home in quarantine. But you know, he's just one of millions that haven't really followed protocol. Am I right? I mean, the whole country really is still living unfortunately still living the way they did, not following a protocol that they should be. So it's a tough one to comment on. Some strong words from the Kaiser Chiefs faithful, which does surprise me. But have you been 100% locked down, Slew and Teko? You know, it's a tough one.
I have, but I don't know if you guys saw Kwamaimai, the market in Gauteng. I can't remember exactly where
Kwamaimai, it is. Kwamaimai, man. Why are you saying so slow? It's Kwamaimai. Don't you?
Okay, whatever. No mask. Not a mask in sight. But anyway, sorry. What are your thoughts?
For me, Sean, I would say, I'm not sure whether when that video was taken and when did a party or whatever took place. But my biggest issue would be we've been struggling to get a proper date from the PSL, and we've been begging SAFA and PSL to coexist into making a decision on this. And after they made such a decision, you know, all the teams now being scrutinized because they don't want to put any player under any danger whatsoever. And by the look of things, Bobby will be the guy that actually goes into the bubble with Kaiser Chiefs, because you probably need all the people that are in Croatia in terms of the team to make it, to go forward and to get to help the team actually win the games. And if this is the case where he might not be there in their first few games, then it becomes a problem, because, you know, he needs to test again before he comes into the camp. And what are you gonna say when you look at the cast? Because the video has been circulating. I think it's just one of those things where it was, you know, you try to steal yourself. You know, when you always join Jain Zoom, you know, you try to do something nice for yourself, whatever the case. Like Sean, like you say, you're right. Not many people have been following regulation. It's tough. It's a tough situation. But it also comes with responsibilities, man. Because if Bobby actually tests positive and then he gets into the camp without being tested or without being recognized, let's say the video didn't surface, he was going to go there in there, not maybe one of the players that we spoke about last week. Then it becomes an issue. Then it becomes very spiral. Then the team start losing games, or teams maybe start progressing to how they're supposed to. I think it was just one of those things where he made a mistake. And luckily, he even though it's humiliating to be seen like that, but luckily they saw it. And then there's something that can be done about it. But I don't think it was suspended. It was just in quarantine. I just think that, you know, it's this is a big message for other teams as well to recognize how serious this thing is. And I just wish and hope that with whatever Kaiser Chiefs have been going through this season, things come out very well for the men of the season, so that they don't have any people to use them as scapegoats. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, on what you're saying, this whole thing of like, what's it? If he hadn't been caught, would he have said anything? There was a similar situation in the NBA with LA Clippers player.
Went to the script club.
Went to Magic City and got himself some wings. And he was like, no, they also have a great menu, guys. And everyone was like, fam, if you hadn't been caught, like, would you have told us? We don't know. But anyway, he's been suspended, and that's that. We'll see if he gets into the bubble. But anyways, we have some football to look forward to this weekend. Man, it's so good to be able to say this weekend. Nedbank Cup semifinals. So Baroka FC versus Bloem Celtic. Let's start with that one before getting to the biggie. So Baroka's road here includes a 1-0 victory over Polokwane City, penalty shootout win over Hungry Lions, and then a 1-0 win over Black Leopards. Celtic, meanwhile, thrashed AmaZulu 4-1, then snatched a 3-2 victory over Maritzburg with that last-minute winner, and then needed penalties to beat TS Sporting. But the big story is, of course, during lockdown, Celtic lost their coach, Sima, to Chipper United, and John Maduka has taken over. So who has the edge in this one? Baroka have had an up and down season. Yeah, who would you take?
Yeah, I think Slew, you hit the nail on the head there. I think with Celtic having lost their head coach during lockdown, it's just causing, it must cause so much turmoil within the changing room. And he was doing a great job, the coach. We were all very surprised. We have spoken about it at length, but we're all very surprised that he left, and especially to join Chipper. Baroka, good coach, and Dylan Kerr. I believe they've had a solid, a mini lockdown preseason, having spoken to a couple of the players. I'm going with Baraka on this one. I think Blum Celtic are possibly still on the edge in terms of losing their coach, not 100% focused. But you know, anything can happen in these games, Slew. It's one result and you're into the final. And obviously both teams are super hungry because it'll be the first game played in over 3.5 or 4 months, you know. So, yeah. But I'm going with Baraka on this one.
Deco.
Looking at especially Bloemfontein Celtics, for me, as much as John Maduka is the newly appointed guy, but he's been part of the system for the longest time. Mm. And I don't think there's anything at this time that he will implement that is new. I don't think there's a personnel within the team that he will bring in that are new, that have never played the system before. And for me, I think that we will see the same consistent Bloemfontein Celtics. Yes, they might not be as fluent like everybody else, or as fluent as they were before the lockdown. We all know that everybody's going to suffer that, but I am anticipating to see the familiar faces in Bloemfontein Celtics' side. Mm. And also, this may be an opportunity for Bloemfontein Celtics because there's potential new owner within the team. There might be talks inside the camp, but guys, you win this, this is all yours. You know, there might be some kind of incentives, and who are better players that deserves incentives more than Bloemfontein Celtics players?
Yeah.
You know, I believe that they'll play their hearts out. And I think also vice versa to what Baraka are facing is, Baraka facing a tough challenge. Do you want to proceed with the cup and be in the cup final? What else? You're fighting relegation as well. Mm-hmm. And if you're going into this game, what kind of system or mindset you're going into this game with? Do you wanna go all out so that you can start preparing? You get your momentum going for the next games, or this is the game that you want to make a statement with? Because I've seen in the media, he's saying he wants to leave a mark, blah, 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 all those nice things. But for me, I'm looking at Baraka, they're in a very, very tough situation. You can go ahead and win the 7 million and win the tournament and be grateful, but be relegated and lose more than that.
Yeah.
So for me, I believe that Baraka standing in a very tough position for them to be able to go all out and compete. And even so, even if they do go to extra time, knowing that there's, you know, more subs that are being involved, I think it is an advantage to Bloemfontein Celtics and Baraka, because Bloemfontein Celtics, all they do, they're in a nice position, just fighting for top eight. They can risk going all out into this trophy. I like Baraka.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, for Baraka, there's the strange circumstance possibility of them winning the Nedbank Cup, qualifying for Africa, but getting relegated from the PSL. And then imagine being able to, having to pay all those fees for travel. Meanwhile, you have less money coming in from the PSL anyway. And so it should be an interesting one. But the big juggernauts this weekend, Bidvest Wits versus Mamelodi Sundowns. To recap their journey to the semifinals, Wits knocked out Pirates on penalties. Then they knocked out Chipper United and smashed Real Kings. Sundowns knocked out Supersport United in the round of 16, Tshwane Derby. Then they beat VUT before knocking out Highlands Park. Both coaches, interestingly, are two-time winners of the trophy. Both won it when it was the Absa Cup and when it was the Nedbank Cup. Pizzo, of course, with Super Sports United back in 05 and Sundowns in 2015. Hunt with Morocco Swallows back in 04 and again with Super Sport in 2012. Who are you guys backing for this one? The first big game since the return of football.
Yeah, I think with what's happened with Bidvest Wits in the past few months, the instability there, players don't know what's happening. Mm. Mamelodi Sundowns having signed a lot of their players as well. You've got to go for Sundowns, eh? I mean, without a doubt, in my opinion. But again, funnier things have happened in football. I think Sundowns just, you know, again, I've heard they've had a very, very good sort of mini preseason. Not too sure what Wits have been up to, but just with what's happening behind the scenes at Wits, you have to really look at Sundowns taking the victory here. I was nearly going to say 3 points, but it's a cup game. You know what I mean?
Do you not think Gavin will be able to convince the boys to get them riled up?
Yeah, look, if anyone could, it could be Gavin for sure. I'm just thinking in terms of what's happened. You know, players are hurting, players feel betrayed, coaches feel betrayed. Again, you're going to have a handful of players that want to prove everyone wrong, and that's great for sure. But I think the sheer strength of the Mamelodi Sundowns squad and remember that no one's played in the last 3.5-4 months, I just think Sundowns will come out flying. And yeah, I think Sundowns for the win, in my opinion.
Deco, former Sundowns man yourself.
Yes, how is you? Listen, I think it'll be difficult for Gabenheim to, you know, to bring back the confidence within the team. I mean, I think it's going to be one of those emotional games for Vets players. Number one, you are secured with your future, and do you want to go all out, get injured? Or also, the ones that haven't been playing bad match, do you want to probably get an opportunity to play, to be seen, to be recognized, you know? But for me, I think there's too many emotions that goes on at the Bidvest camp. I don't think they're in the right state of mind to actually be in a position where they can, you know, fight and put on a show against the tough Mamelodi Sundowns. So Sundowns, it's a team that, you know, they want to start right. They want to send, you know, a message. They want to get that momentum going. You know, they're probably going to be very strategic in terms of how they're going to use their subs, because they can anticipate that Vets might take them to extra time. And with looking at Mamelodi Sundowns' squad, they do have the players to actually come in and help them. But what's most importantly, what I love about this fixture is the rivalry between the two coaches. You know, they can downplay the way they want to, but these are the two coaches. These are the two best coaches that I've had in the last 7 to 8 years. And these are the guys that always wants to do best whenever they face each other. And for Gabenheim, this might be the last game, probably maybe under Vets, you know, against Mamelodi Sundowns. He wants to cause an upset, and he loves being an underdog. And with Peter as well, he knows exactly what he's facing. He faces a coach that is very tricky, that is smart, that knows how to play the game. And I'm sure that Gabenheim won't be coming into this game, you know, demoralized. I think he will come very prepared. It's just up to Vets players actually to put on a show, because, I mean, it's up to them actually, you know, to go out with a bang. But also, it's very difficult just to do that, especially playing against a team like Mamelodi Sundowns. But let's not forget that Bidford Vets has equally good players. Mm. And the Mamelodi Sundowns, just because it has a good squad, it doesn't guarantee them that they stand a good chance of winning the game. We've seen how Bidford have played against Orlando Pirates when they came in to win that game. We've seen the fixtures that Bidford Vets has to face.
Yeah,
absolutely. And just to jump in there, Toko, you must remember the Vets players are playing for contracts now, so yeah, they'll be even more hungry than ever. Yeah.
Exactly. So for Bidford Vets, if they start right, they might dominate the game all the way. But they need to start right from the first minute. You know, forget about everything else. Forget about, this is the game that you guys, you know, need to win, or you want to. You want to do it for yourselves. Do it for yourself. Do it for your contracts. Do it for whatever reason that you're doing it for, but do it right, because this is an opportunity. Because I can guarantee you, if they can, you know, jump this hurdle, they're probably going to win the trophy. Because if I had to look back at the performance against Mamelodi Sundowns, I mean, against Orlando Pirates, I was completely convinced that, you know, Vets are a problem when they want to. And if they can switch on that plug again against Mamelodi Sundowns, it will be a very, very interesting game, not only on the pitch, but also, you know, on the bench as well, looking at how those coaches are going to react. Because now we're going to hear everything they have to say.
Yep.
There's no fans. So yep, if you swear, dude, we there to hear you. And we'll be there with our old person writing down, did he just say that?
Yep.
So we'll be there.
It's going to be interesting. And also, I think both of these teams, this is such a crucial game, because more than any other PSL team, they want to hit the ground running here, because they have the busiest month ahead. Both Bidvest Wits and Sundowns have 9 PSL games. And then this is a 10th now. And then if they make the final, that makes 11 in the space of a month. So it's heavy. And even, what's it, Gavin Hunt, I saw, he promoted like 9 youth players from MDC or something like that, to just like beef up, because he realizes this is an uphill. Pizzo, in fact, on his Twitter feed called it he called it an extreme bumpy ride, the schedule. So it's going to be fun. But I mean, that segues perfectly into our next topic, which is the PSL restart and the key fixtures in the title race, and actually also the relegation battle, because it kind of filters in here. So I'll start with Chiefs. They have two against Wits. They have one against Sundowns and two against relegation-threatened Baroka FC and Polokwane City, right? So the two against Wits and Sundowns, oddly, if you look at Chiefs' season, you might almost back them in those games more than the relegation ones, because they've struggled against small teams. But who do you guys think, what do you guys think, especially coming back, new stadium, how do you think they'll fare in those big games and then also in those games that might decide the relegation battle?
Look, Slee, you hit the nail on the head there in terms of the stadiums that'll be played at. You look at someone like Black Leopards away, Polokwane away, Baroka away. Now that it's at neutral stadiums, you have to sort of lean towards your Kaizer Chiefs, Mamelodi Sundowns, SuperSport, Pirates, Maritzburg, etc. The guys are in the top four, top five, because those, and Teko can vouch for this, those trips away to Venda are just horrific, especially in that heat. So all of a sudden now you think, okay, well, they've got Black or AmaZulu or whoever, Baroka away, Black Leopards away. Is it really an away game? So you've got to back them for those as well. But I do agree with you. They're playing against Bidvest. They've got a couple of the big teams as well, which I do back them for. So it really is Kaizer Chiefs to lose this league. I still believe they've got it in them to win it. But they need to, every game is a home game for Chiefs. But it is those away games that they have been struggling with, especially with the lower ranked teams. And I think it now being a neutral venues, it really does play into Kaizer Chiefs' hands. I honestly believe that.
Interesting. Who do you think can fill in for Maluleka, who played a large portion of their games? Who do you think can fill in that slot for them for the rest of the season?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Hey, are they going to bring? They're going to keep Willard in there. And I like the Katsanda and Maluleka combination that they had. And then sometimes with Shangasi as well. But we've spoken about him not being able to drop off enough. Will they show faith in him? I'm not too sure. Will they bring Kieran Backus back in? I believe he's going to be the replacement, to be honest, Backus, because he is able to go forward. He does very well defensively. He's impressed me massively in the few games that he has played. But the key is to have the Katsanda there, and whoever's going to play next to him will be the key. And I do believe it'll be Backus. What do you think, Tex?
Yeah, I think it'll be suicidal for the coach not to use Backus because of the qualities that he has. Plus, he's been playing a couple of games. So to bring back in Changasa, there's so much pressure for the boy to perform. And these are the games that we need people that are ready to go in and do it for the team. And as for coming back to the question at hand, I think Kaizer Chiefs, for me, I'll end with the relegation part. I think Kaizer Chiefs will be all the games that remain, irrespective of who they're playing against. I think they have the toughest fixture because they've been in the same position before where they actually end up losing the league to Mamelodi Sundowns. So they know the pain of going through the same thing again. And I'm sure now everybody can, because there's many doubts within the fans, within the public sphere, within the media, that we're not sure whether Kaizer Chiefs were, especially before lockdown, were in the right form to actually win the league. Because if you remember, they lost against AmaZulu. I think also the week before, or 2 weeks before, they lost against Maritzburg as well. So people will be starting to have doubts with Kaizer Chiefs, especially there's always been talks about how they play, you know, how not interesting they are, how whatever the case might be. So now this is an opportunity for them to actually consolidate. But you can't consolidate, you know, your 1-0 until you win until the end of the game, until the end of the season. What else you have? Tough fixtures that are coming ahead. So they need to come up with something that is fresh, something that maybe the coach needs to take a risk in certain positions and probably know exactly the type of personnel to bring in at a certain time to actually make sure that you lock in. Because I don't think now anybody from Kaizer Chiefs' point of view care how Kaizer Chiefs play until the end of the season. As long as they win the league, they've got something to show for. Because if they don't win, now there's too many loopholes for Kaizer Chiefs to use an excuse. So I think Josh Maluleka's story will come back again. The lockdown issue will come back again. The Karma Billiard story will come back again. The book. So there's too many things that Kaizer Chiefs need to avoid. And the only way to avoid it is just win the league. And I think for the relegation part, I think there's too many teams that for me, I'm not trying to be harsh. They deserve to be relegated. One, they don't treat the players right. Two, they don't treat the players right. Guess what? Three, they don't treat the players right. Because you are not an ambitious team. You don't sign good players. You do sign, when you do sign good players, once a team start having a talk with the player, some showing interest with the player, you make sure that the player sign, maybe you double the contract or whatever the case may be, the player doesn't play anymore. Like, I've seen this movie before, especially with the teams that are forever fighting relegation. I just hope that the ones that probably survive relegation this time around, they learn, they become better, because we want the league to improve. We want also teams to be fighting for the championship. Yeah. We want to see other teams as well playing in a top eight, winning the top eight. We're not that we're tired of seeing the same teams, but we need a challenge. Now, Bill Vitz is no longer going to be there next season. Who's going to take the spot? We're looking at someone that's going to take the spot and challenge for the league. That's my fear, that are we bringing in people that are coming in within the league, are they going to help the PSL to sort of standard to go up, or they're dropping the standards? Because we know that with Vitz, we knew the standard that we were getting from Vitz. So now there's less strong team.
And just to add in there, Toko, if you go from 16th place all the way to 7th place, being Golden Arrows, all those teams can still get relegated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
The bottom four has three teams on the same number of points, 23, I think it is.
Yeah, 23.
It's so tight down there that you don't know what could happen. It's 18 points up for grabs for these teams, and they really need every game to count. And it sucks for
it's
them.
Crazy. I mean, look at Cape Town City, Teko, hey? 27 points.
Yeesh. Dude, that's what I'm saying. My point is, I love Cape Town City. I love Cape Town City. But my problem is, there should be something that they're taking out of this season when the season is done. There need to be some lessons that are learned. Because honestly, for the last 3 to 4 years, Cape Town City has been the team that fights for top three. One of the smallest teams that always fights for that owner. So there was something that they need to learn. And also, once they learn, they need to go back to where they belong. And that's why my issue also with other teams as well that are down there, I'm saying, your Barocas. Barocas 2018, they won, I think, Telkom Cup. Those are the kind of things we want. We want to see all those surprises. We want to see all those teams, you know, getting incentives there. Attract good players to come and play for you. Because once you're in a relegation zone every season, there's no good player that you're going to attract to come and play for you.
Yeah.
So now the standards of the league is going down instead of going up. On the other side, the downside is, I don't think we're going to recover from the Vets safe, because we don't have any stronger team that will come in and have that kind of impact that Vets had. You knew what you were getting when you're going to play in Bedford's Vets. Nobody wanted to play in that small stadium. Mm. Nobody, because you knew that you just go in there for a draw. If you win, you're lucky.
Yeah.
So now where are we going to get that? Now we left to Mamelodi Sundowns, Pirates, Sundowns, and then maybe SuperSport, and then what?
Scary times, bro.
You know, you mentioned Sundowns. Deco, you know how strong they can finish. You've been a part of that before. Do you think that this changes anything, the new system, or do you think that Pizzo will be able to get them in line and have them win every single game outright from here on? Because they do have Pirates and Chiefs. They also have three relegation deciders. Baroka, Polokwane, and Leopards are on their fixture list as well. Do you think that Pizzo is going to smash every single one of these?
Look at this way, Smith. They up against Kaizer Chiefs, whom we know how the supporters play their role in terms of Kaizer Chiefs' results, in terms of how the teams play.
Yeah.
When the supporters are behind Kaizer Chiefs, you'll see Kaizer Chiefs gaining the momentum, Kaizer Chiefs buzzing. So now they're in a new environment where there's no fans whatsoever. Now, Mamelodi Sundowns have been playing Champions League every year. The chances are, they'll go to the Champions League games where they play against the crowd that is against them. So they don't have any home-based crowd, and they come out with better results. So now you're facing a team that is stronger mentally to play under difficult circumstances. And you on the other side, you sometimes rely on the fans to bring up the players because of the pressure of the team itself. So I think for these two teams, I don't think it's going to boil down into the tactics of what is doing, who's doing what on the pitch. It's who's mentally stronger to push through, even though it's difficult. Because of now, you're going to hear more than enough. You're not going to rely on the fan to bring you up or to clap their hands when you had a goal, a shot and goal. On the pitch, you're going to hear Peter's frustration. He's going to shout as a player. and you're going to be scared to be brought in as a sub because of it. You know now that you're going to hear everything. That now it's going to be based on the mentality of the players. And I believe that Mamelodi Sundowns are stronger mentally, but it's okay to choose to lose the league.
It's going to be very, very tight. And I think we should keep this energy because as we get into International News Desk with Kurt, you know, we're going to start with the transfer talk, but we're also going to have a Champions League preview. And I want to keep this energy because now I'm excited again. Soccer's back. But we welcome Mr. Kurt Buckerfield. How are you doing, Kurt?
What's up, Slew? I'm good, man. How's it, guys?
So, two big transfer stories this week. One, which just confused me. We had a little bit of a disagreement on Twitter there, Kurt. But we'll start with Sancho, rather. Because Sancho, it looks like it's going to happen, right?
I think so. So we're hearing that he has basically agreed personal terms with Manchester United. And it's now for the clubs to reach an agreement over the transfer fee. Dortmund have reportedly told United that they want everything finalized by the 10th of August. But what I've seen from Solskjaer, from United's camp, is that they are in no rush to get the deal done. And apparently they're actually pretty unhappy with the way Dortmund have handled things, like, you know, just by demanding this deadline. But it does look likely to happen. And it seems like his transfer fee will be paid in installments, with 60 million up front and then another 40 to 60 over the course of 2 or 3 years. That's what I've read. Yeah.
As you do.
Yeah.
It's a big one. Gents, what do you make of that? I mean, Sancho, of course, has the talent for it. But do you think Dortmund are right in being a little aggressive in their transfer business here?
I think so. I mean, I think they're well within their rights. They're probably annoyed by United's interest over the last 2 years. So they probably just want to get things done and have their squad ready for next season. They don't want to let this thing drag on. So, yeah, I think they're well within their rights to do that, Stu.
But I think it's weird because the reason they wanted such a big down payment was to replace Sancho straight away.
Exactly,
Which makes me realize, well, why sell him in the first place if he's just going to replace him? Because he's going to be very, very difficult to replace.
Wait, but they got Bellingham, though.
Bellingham is more central.
Oh, yes, he is. Sorry about that.
He's more of a center, a sentiment. Yeah, Sean, I mean, I'm not sure whether this money will be used entirely to replace him. I don't think it will. I think they would have taken a knock with the coronavirus outbreak, the economic impact. They would have felt it just like everybody else. So I think they're just trying to make as much money as possible, which would have been the case regardless of the economic impact that they would have felt in recent months. So I'm not entirely sure. I think Dortmund have a knack of replacing like Dembele, Sancho with someone young from the academy who then they go on to sell for 100 million. So I can't see them bringing in a big money signing. But they might need to consider a move like that if they want to challenge Bayern Munich, who just, I mean, they're running away with the league every year.
Deco, what are your thoughts here?
Oh, I don't like conversations about Arsenal or Manchester United.
The second one's going to be about Arsenal, so buckle up.
No, but I think, look, for looking at Solskjaer's plans and looking at the way that he wants to play, I think you'd assume that Sancho would be a perfect fit into the team. But my issue is as well is because I've seen recent games where Rashford is playing on the left, where Martial is playing as a striker now. So now, Sancho, where would you want to play Sancho?
I think, Teko, I think Sancho would be coming in as a right wing because he plays a lot of football there at Dortmund, yeah.
Yeah. So my thing is him being a perfect fit will make sense and hopefully, you know, you see Manchester of the great, the ones that we grew up supporting and maybe we'll see those days coming back. But as for Dortmund, we've seen Dortmund every 2 years, they always sell the big stars and they don't have a problem with replacing them. I think they're scouting people there, whoever that does the scouting. The head of scout there is amazing because they always find the gems. You know, even the money that they spent to buy Sancho from Man City, is ridiculous. And look at him now. And I think also maybe the reason why I also don't want to sell him as quickly as possible, maybe also Sanjay had this conversation that he wants to go back. Now that Sanjay is well known, he wants to go back home and actually play because that was his dream. So for him to go and force the move, we understand, because also the language barriers in Germany. So coming back home, the plus actually that you play with in the national team, I think it makes it easy for him. And also he wants to be a starter in the national team. He wants to play regularly. So what's the best way to do that when you're playing at home? It's easy for Southgate to watch you every single game. So
that's true.
What's for him?
I think, Kurt, I just think it's a good bit of business for both teams, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure.
I think Dortmund are trying to recouping what they've lost in this COVID-19, and United are getting a world-class player. So I think it's good business on both sides.
I think it's a win-win. And I just want to say one more thing on this. Dortmund, you know, when Dembele left, his natural replacement was Sancho, who was 17, 18 at the time. They've got this young kid in the academy who you guys need to look out for. His name's Youssoufa Moukoko. He's Cameroonian-born 15-year-old who will for sure make his debut as soon as he turns 16. As soon as he's allowed to, he'll make his debut for that Dortmund first team. He is scoring goals for fun in that academy. He's playing for Germany's under 16. He was playing for Germany's under 16s at 12 years old. He was playing for Dortmund's under 17s at 12 years old. He played for the under 19 team last season and scored 34 goals in 20 matches or something like that. And he's a left-footed forward who will probably just play on the right. So just look out for this kid.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Kurt, but didn't the Bundesliga literally change their ruling so that he can play sooner?
They changed the rules for him. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So wow, usually you're supposed to be 16 and a half to make your debut. They're changing the rules for this kid. I heard to about 16. This. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So I need to check him out. It reminds me of Messi, because when Messi was at Barca, it was the first team players who asked the coach, like, hey, you got to put this kid in. Like, it's ridiculous now.
Wow.
So
crazy.
So we're going to see. But we have to discuss this. So while Sancho is the story for Manchester United, mind you, Arsenal beats Chelsea in the FA Cup final. And now we're trying to chase Willian, who's 31, on a free, I guess. That's the benefit. But I need to understand why. Because, Kurt, I know you're a nice guy, but I feel like you were low-key throwing shade at Arsenal by saying...
Why? What do you mean?
Because I was like he'd be a backup, right? And you were like, nah, I think he'd be surprised. And I'm busy wondering.
I didn't mean that. That wasn't a shot. I'm sorry. That wasn't a shot at all. I just feel like people are being really harsh on Willian. Look, I've been critical of him in the past. I don't think that he's I don't think he's a great player. But I think for Arsenal, look, and again, I don't mean this as a shot, but Arsenal fans need to see where their club is at the moment. Mm-hmm. And when a player like Willian becomes available for free, I think you take him with both hands. He's 31 years old, yes. He's coming from a rival, yes. But it's not the same as Petr Cech coming. It's not the same as David Luiz coming. Those guys were probably just happy to be earning a decent contract by staying in London. I think Willian wants to play under Arteta. That's what I've read. He really wants to play under Arteta, and I feel like he can still improve under Arteta. He's had 5 managers in the last 7 years. I don't think that he's been pulled aside and been given the tactical insight that he probably should have been. So, he doesn't score enough goals. He doesn't contribute to enough goals. But, I mean, I read something the other day that in 7 years, he has missed 4 games through injury. He is extremely fit. He's in great condition still. And he will be free. And I've read that he doesn't want to go to Arsenal because of money. Chelsea are apparently offering him more money. But he wants to play under Arteta. And I just feel like it's a no-brainer.
I think the reason that he disagreed with Chelsea was the length of the contract, right? He wants a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
And so and this is my one thing, you know, I became an Arsenal fan through Wenger's generation, and I remember Wenger had a rule where he was like, when it comes to these 30-plus-year-old players, you don't sign them on long-term deals. And I just wonder if that culture is changing. But I do see the benefits of having a guy who's not injury-prone, because, man,
look, and Slu, it will look so much different in 2 or 3 weeks' time when not only Willian is signed for Arsenal, but perhaps somebody else like Coutinho, who's also available in this market. So I think that Arteta and Arsenal will have a plan. I think the club are going to back Arteta. And, you know, maybe we shouldn't just look at it like it's Willian from a rival and he's 31 years old. But when you have a Aubameyang on the field, when you have Pepe, an informed Pepe, hopefully on the right-hand side, and you have Willian on the left, it suddenly looks like a completely different side. And sure, I feel like he's going to make a huge difference. I really do. I feel like he's somebody who's still going to improve. Guardiola always gave Arteta the credit for getting his wingers more involved. That was something he spoke about often, and I feel like Willian will get better under Arteta. I really do.
I might be wrong, but I think you're looking at Frank, what he's trying to do. He's trying to bring in his own players into the system, new young players, and they look at Willian, how long he's been there. And sometimes you don't want to be sidelined because you know the culture of the team, and this is Frank Lampard, that is a legend of the team. He wants new faces, he wants this, and probably maybe wants England players as well to be playing on those positions as well. So yeah. for Willian to move across, that's great, and especially for a player that says, I want to play under a certain coach, as a club, you should be very happy, because now you're bringing a player that is very happy to come through.
It's for the right reasons, yeah.
Exactly. And also, it helps also in terms of attracting other players as well. You know, if you have Willian and then maybe Coutinho agrees to come through, the other players, then it improves the team, because of really, really, guys, I don't know what's happening at Arsenal. Okay, you know, God sometimes is very great. You know, it gave you guys FA Cup, but there's something wrong there. There's no creativity. There's nothing. There's totally nothing in that team.
Yeah, it is an important transfer window for us, to be fair.
Exactly. You guys, if you're not going to use it right, I promise you, that will be the end of it. Arteta won't even last the season. Because it's important. Because look at, I'm telling you, like, look at what everybody's doing. Look at all the new coaches, what they're doing. Frank Lampard is bringing in proper, he might not be signing defenders. That might be the problem. But if he can score 7 and he concede 5, he wins the game. But what I'm saying is, like, if Arsenal, Arteta can chill there and be great at Arsenal, but if he's not going to sign, trust me, you'll be fighting relegation next season.
Sean, any thoughts here?
Yeah, just a quick one. I think it is, I think, because he'll be 32 soon as well. So to sign a 32-year-old in a 3-year deal is madness. But on the other side, he's going to bring so much creativity to the Arsenal midfield and up front, which they don't have at the moment. I think just to add on what Kurt was saying as well, I think in the last 7 seasons, he hasn't played less than 40 games, and you've really got to look at that. He will add a lot of value to Arsenal, but whether on a 3-year deal, it's that for me is a bit debatable, because that's what he's after. He's after for a bit longevity. He's not so much the money. He's made his money, but to sign a 32-year-old, because he will be 32 soon, I think by the new season, yeah, on a 3-year deal in the Premier League is
yeah. I will say real quick before we move on, I just actually had the thought that Willian is Brazilian, and so he'd be able to mentor Martinelli quite well as well. So, but anyway. Moving forward, we have the UEFA Champions League. We're just going to preview the games coming up this weekend, of which there are some pretty big ones over here. Man City versus Madrid, Juventus, Lyon, Barcelona, Napoli, and Bayern, Chelsea. So I think one of those we'll touch on very briefly. But Man City, Madrid, how are you feeling for that one, Kurt?
I'm actually quite confident that Manchester City can advance past Real Madrid. I think that Madrid finished the domestic season strong, but I just feel like City are in a better position. I feel like Kevin De Bruyne can turn a game on his head, and it just takes one moment from him. I feel like Pep really, really wants this. I feel like City, this is arguably the best chance that they've had to win the Champions League.
For sure.
And I'm really confident that they will get past. Sean, I believe you support City.
Big fan.
Big fan.
Concerning, obviously, no Sergio Aguero, but, you know, the attack is on form. It's on points. We're beautiful. What worries me is our central defense. But yeah, I think we're going to take this one. And if we win this one, we'll win the Champions League.
We'll be fine. Oh. No worries, man.
I think so too.
Teco's also a Man City fan.
Yeah, we'll play with the false nine. Sergio Ramos will never know who to defend. Don't worry. We'll play with the false nine. Once he's not there in the central position, there's a problem. Don't worry.
All right. And then we have Lyon. It's an away fixture for Lyon, but they have the lead going in. Do you think that they can hold off Juventus?
Look, Juventus haven't been convincing at all this season. They won the league again. I think it was their ninth Serie A title in a row, but they've been far from convincing. They won the league by 1 point, and it really should have been Inter Milan's. I don't know if you guys have seen that table, but just go have a look. Inter Milan drew 10 games while Juventus drew 5. So it looked to me like Inter actually threw it away rather than Juventus being the best team in Italy. But
sure,
I don't know. I think that Juventus will probably beat Lyon. They'll advance.
Yes, it's a Ronaldo-type game, it feels like, right? Like, it's where he usually steps
exactly.
Guys, that time is gone.
You think?
It's gone. Chief, I've watched Juventus like probably 4 or 5 times. Guys, it's gone. All right.
I was tweeting about that, Teco. I was talking about that a lot, and I was receiving hate mail, but thank God somebody else feels the same.
The Ronaldo fans are strong over here. Hey. But then we have Barcelona-Napoli. 1-1 over there. I think Barca have the away goal. So if it ends 0-0, Barca go through. But of course, that's probably not going to happen here. What are you feeling for that tie?
So, I mean, this one's obviously close to the heart because I'm a Barca fan. But I don't think that they're going to go through. I think Napoli are a better side at the moment. I think that there's just too much that's gone on at Barcelona. I don't know. I mean, Slu, I feel like Messi and Suarez and Griezmann, having those players in your side should be enough to get you past a Napoli. But I've watched Barcelona throughout the season, and they've been poor week in, week out. So I'd actually back Napoli. I'd back Napoli to score more than one goal there. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be a tricky game, that.
Interesting.
What do you think? Teco, you're also a Barca fan. Do you think they're going to be able to get past Koulibaly?
Look, the sooner Barcelona is out of Champions League, the better for us that we can restart and reschedule certain things on the team. Because I think by us advancing more and more and more, it looks like that there's something great within the team and there's nothing. I think there's the fact that I spoke about Griezmann not having freedom. I think there's too many players that are there, or maybe they don't understand the coach, or they don't want the coach. There's too many problems within Barcelona camp. And I think the better we are of the Champions League, drawing board, look at the players that we need to bring back. Because we've been saying that, no, Coutinho shouldn't come back. Who's better now that we have in the midfield that can help us? Like, I don't understand. There's so many things that I don't understand. But anyway, we're selling a 20-something-year-old, we're buying a 32, 31-year-old. Mm-hmm. There's a problem with Barcelona, Chief. Like, Napoli will win the game.
And it's almost, Teco, like you said now, it's almost cruel that Barcelona always seem to get to the semifinals and in and around the area, and you think that they're gonna do it, and then they don't. And, you keep thinking that there's a squad in there, but to me, it's kind of amazing that they've managed to get that far, or they managed to even get to the semifinals last season. Messi pretty much carried them. So, yeah, I agree with you there. I think that as a fan, and not as a journalist, if I remove my journalist cap right now, as a fan, I'd like them knocked out ASAP. So they're just, all the way down to earth.
Absolutely.
Well, there we have it. I'm going to leave it there because, honestly, do we need to even talk about this Bayern-Chelsea match? I don't think so. 3-0. Chelsea's got an injury list longer than what? I don't know. So I don't see anything changing there. But
yeah, for sure.
And also, that's a three. Those are three away goals for Bayern. So Chelsea need 4 anyway. thank you very much, Kurt, for joining us on International News Desk.
Cool, guys.
Thanks, Kurt.
Until next week, boys. Cheers.
Sure.
I think let's throw 10 quick fire questions in here before we dive into. I think we'll jump to Secret Footballer so we can give Sean his time. Question number one: who is the funniest guy in the PSL that you have played with?
Capuza. No, that's classic.
Nice. Who is the flashiest dresser?
Tekum DC.
Who's the worst dressed?
Man. I feel like you want to make me say things that I don't know how to say. Man.
You must throw them under the bus.
No, of course. Like I've checked. Like there's people that I don't follow, but no, I check their Instagrams. So, hey, that's a tricky question.
You gonna pass?
Nah, pass that one.
Who is your best friend at Cape Town City FC?
I have like some guys that I usually hang out with, and I consider them brothers because of all the stories that we share, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah, I can't just pick one because there's few of them that I consider them my brothers. Tami, Tabo, you know, mm-hmm. Tato Mkeke, Mpo McCollum, Dun Datsani, Kermit Erasmus, Surprise Ralani. So those are the guys, Sage. So those are the guys that we spend like most of the time together. So yeah,
I see.
Wouldn't say like a best friend. I only have one that is in Mozambique, but you know, I found brothers here. You know, I found brothers, people that I can share my problems with.
What is the best goal that you've ever witnessed while you were on the field of play?
There's Sompo's one that he scored against us. That was a great. That's the greatest goal that I have ever witnessed while being on the pitch.
All right, and then currently, what is your favorite car?
My favorite car, BMW, all day long. M3 or M4.
Okay, so, what's your favorite local food, either from Mozambique or SA?
My favorite local food here is muhodu. A nice muhodu with pap, like. I will eat that every day. Mm-hmm. And in my country, of course, there's, we call it feijoada. I don't know if you have heard about it. Mm-hmm. So it's a mix of beans, like beans. Mm-hmm. You can put chicken there. You can put sausage. You know, you can put beef. You understand, all together. So we call it feijoada. It's quite a famous dish in my country.
Feijoada, I need to get myself a portion. And then last but not least, what is your favorite holiday destination?
My favorite holiday destination, Santorini, Greece.
Santorini, Greece. Have you been?
I haven't been there, but yeah, that's where I will see myself, you know, enjoying my holidays.
This is a Cape Town City dependent Milson Dove. Another one. Oh, somebody get him to Santorino. To Santorini, sorry. Let's dive into The Secret Footballer, which is where Sean Roberts takes a look at our sister publication, Kickoff Magazine's back page, where someone tells a story of what's happening in local football. What you got for us this week?
Just a quick one. Obviously, The Secret Footballer, he speaks about the treatment of newcomers received when they join new teams. So he said, when I went to play in Switzerland, it was an extremely difficult experience. I'm a black man who went to a white country at a white club, and I was the first black player, I think, to move there. There were lots of challenges I encountered because I was about to take someone else's position. This problem is not just a local South African problem. It happens everywhere. I mean, I can recall, you know, when I played in Europe, going into that changing room, knowing that nobody wants you there because you are literally taking someone's money out their pocket, you know. Mm. And Teko, I mean, you've obviously been in this position as well. It's not an easy position, but it's something that professional footballers and sportsmen have to push on and persevere to get through those difficult first couple of months at a new club with new surroundings and new teammates, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, I remember coming to Mamelodi Sundowns, you know, coming there with the superstars, and obviously somebody knows that, you know, he was not signed yet to sit on the bench, so somebody needs to sit out. So I had to actually earn my stripes again, you know, and you feel the energy that, you know, you don't want it there. You know, then obviously, but being the professional that you are, you always need to, you know, push through, you know, persevere and win their trust, because it's important to have your teammates trusting you. So I had to win that, and it was the most difficult thing. I think I've earned that after two seasons. It was very, very difficult. So, but I know that it's sometimes difficult, especially playing for big teams in the country. That's one of those things that players need to persevere.
Absolutely. Lovely stuff there. So we need to talk about Opap Manisa and Molongwane, who have signed for TTM FC. They both
are trying to turn their careers around after some pretty brutal injuries. Opamanisa, of course, suffered an Achilles injury in October last year. He's apparently recovered. He recovered just before lockdown. And then Mulungwane, on the other hand, had a rough leg injury back in 2018, playing for Chiefs, struggled with injuries again last year, only made two appearances in 2019. So, you know, Sean, you have a lot of experience with injuries. Deco, you have a lot of experience in terms of just persisting through your career. What do these guys need to do to get their careers back on track and succeed at TTMFC, Sean?
Well, they've made the first move, and that's to sign a contract. So I think they're very, very blessed in terms of getting employment contracts these days. We've seen, especially with what's happening now in the PSL, it's tough for players to get a job. So well done to them. In terms of signing for TTM, let's wait and see. Very interesting. But for now, it's about getting game time, and that's all that matters, Slew. The more game time, the more confidence you get, and hopefully just get back to normal. We know what quality players they are and what they have been, and their talent never goes away. Never forget that. So let's just hope they stay injury-free and have a good season with TTM going forward.
Deco.
I think, like Sean has said, I've never doubted the talent of the players. And sometimes also, you know, you need somebody that will believe in you, whether it's the team or it's the coach. I just hope that for these two players, that's the case this time around. Mm. But my only other concern will be, looking from an outside in, it's I hope that the team is well prepared, you know, all their ducks in a row. I think, you know, they have a coach that will actually understand that what are the requirements to survive in the league. I think that's the first thing that they need to look at. They don't need to look at winning anything. If you win any trophy, it's a bonus, but you need to look at how you're going to survive, because I believe that next season will be one of those tough seasons, because I think there's going to be fixtures back-to-back, and you need to have good players to be able to play all those games and actually win. And I just hope that, you know, within the short space of time, also they have the players that are willing to play for the team, not because they just looking to, you know, looking for a paycheck end of the month. I just hope they're looking for, they actually acquire players that are willing to play for the team. And also it's important for the team itself to be as ambitious as possible. I mean, you also want to train good players as well. So I think you need to be ambitious, be vocal about it, and hope that, you know, and work towards it. And I think also for first thing that they need to do is to dominate their region, which is the Limpopo. Let them be the Limpopo Kings. Start that kind of conversation. They build, because this is a new team, build the confidence, build the fan base by doing so. I think by doing that, once your team becomes so interesting, now you start also, attracting players that also want to come and play for you, because you've seen the cases of adverse players, others that don't want to go and play there. Yeah. Because anything new, change is very, very difficult to accept at times. And now we don't know anything about TTM, especially the PSL team. So the first season is in the trial stage. And I hope that with everything that they've been doing behind closed doors, it's preparing them for a great season, because I've seen a team that did the same thing that they're doing right now. They end up owing players money. They end up getting liquidated. So I just hope that we're not going to see the case, because we just bought the rich, rich history of Bid for the West. So I just hope that with this transition, you start your new own history, and by doing so, survive the first time around, and let's see what happens going forward.
I don't know if you guys saw, Sean, did you see that they tried to approach Owen De Gama? And Owen actually confirmed this to media. Do you think that, like, they have the right to...
You go there. I promise you. Yeah. But don't quote me on that, though.
It would be interesting.
But he's got
see.
A good thing going at Highlands, eh? I mean, it's obviously quite unprofessional to approach a coach that's still under contract, but this is the PSL and funnier things have happened. I would be surprised if he does go there, Teko, but I'm not going to disagree with you. But let's see. But you know what? We've seen now that Highlands are also up for sale, so who the hell knows?
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm saying this is it won't be the first time that Owen is working in Venda. He's worked there before. He knows the language very well. And yeah. also the chances are if Hallensbach do decide to sell, you also need to find a job. But it's just that also, like you said, it's unprofessional for a team to be talking with the coaches while they're still under contract. But also, as a guy that you need to be approachable, don't go out and speak about, yeah, but they spoke to me, because nobody will come in and try to speak to you because they're scared that you might expose them.
Yeah, for sure.
It should be interesting with TTM. I mean, they're clearly bringing Manyisa and Molongwane in as like experienced guys. Of course, they have a career turnaround, but I think TTM are probably going to have to get a lot of youth in to start off with. You know, I don't think they'll be able to have a bunch of superstars in the side. So it should be an interesting situation that they'll find themselves in next season. Plus they're up against it. Every Absolutely. Team, I think, is everyone's going to be their enemy basically next season, because of the way things happened. But, yeah, should be an interesting fight. But so I'm going to do this week in football history real quick.
Today we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
This week, back in 2003, Manchester United lost to Sporting Lisbon in a preseason friendly. The score was 3-1 to Lisbon, with Luis Felipe and João Pinto scoring the goals. But after the game, the United players were raving about a different player, a young winger who they'd eventually signed for £12 million. You might know him. His name is Cristiano Ronaldo. This week, back in 1999, Alan Shearer marked his 100th appearance for Newcastle United by receiving the first red card of his career. It was given to him for a second yellow offense, and basically the ref said excessive use of elbows was the reason, which is, you know, that's just a fun thing. And then this week, back in 1991, our chair in South Africa, Hellenic, drew 1-1 with Blackpool in the JPS League Cup in the semi-final group stage. And I bring this up because I find the format interesting. It's something that I've never seen since. It's a semi-final group stage where it's three teams that qualify here, and so they each play each other, and so each of them play twice. And interestingly, in the semi-final group stage that I'm mentioning, all three of the matches ended in draws. Blackpool and Dynamos went through only because their draw was 2-2 instead of 1-1, so their goal difference was better for goals scored. But it's just a very fascinating system that I wonder if they'd ever bring back. But that's this week in football history. Do you have a car of the week for us, Mr. Shaw?
I do. We look at this week. Tuso Parla was photographed next to a beautiful 2018 GLC 63 AMG, one of my favorite cars on the road. Unsurprisingly spacious, this thing of beauty provides style, elegance, speed, and all-round sexiness, the perfect combination for any car, in my opinion. What should be your key to take away from the GLC 63? That it does a lot of things, and it does them all very well. It drives with the verve and capability of Mercedes sports coupes. It offers up all the practicality and utility we expect from an SUV, and it retains a high level of luxury. It's for those reasons that the GLC 63 should be high on your list when shopping for a go-fast, do-it-all luxury SUV, ranging from 1.5 million up to 2.8 million, and 9 out of 10 for me.
Ooh, very, very nice. I think TTMFC, if anything, they need motivation for next season. So I think Sean, as usual, you need to motivate them with a quote of the week. What do you have for
us? Yes, sir. So here we go. My mate, Mr. Musa Bilankulu, said, "Hate is heavy and worthless anyway." Boom.
Straight to the point.
There we go, Slew.
Yep, heavy is the hand that hates on others. Anyway, that has been episode number 38 of The Car Wash. So whether you were listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Game Time on Mahigang 96.7 FM, thank you very much for tuning in. You'll find us in the same place next week. A big thank you to my co-hosts, Mr. Sean Roberts.
Thank you, sir.
And Mr. Teko Modise.
Thank you, Slew Dog. Thank you, Sean.
Hey, tada.
Mzansi, we shall check you next week. Peace out.
Today is a great day for car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sakala Duma Radio. This is a Sangana Corner.